City Council President, Ward 3 Councillor Ian Kane joining us for an update on the latest City Council meeting. How are you today, Ian?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Here we are, late October now, and it's starting to feel like it too.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. I really enjoy the changing of the seasons. I feel like every year you forget how unique the transition of the seasons is. And so, I don't know, I appreciate each one of them.
Yeah, it was really evident right at Hancock Adams Common last night before the meeting with the sugar maples. They're gorgeous.
They are gorgeous, yeah.
And just one lone agenda item, but a big one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big one. You know why? Because the mayor came to the city council, and the mayor rarely comes to the city council. He comes usually to introduce the budget, and that's about all that, you know, we typically see him. So it was nice to have him there. Councillor Dave McCarthy, Ward 1 city councillor, had proposed that the mayor come in to talk about the city's debt profile. And so he did that. So, you know, talk a little bit about it. I'm sure you've talked to the mayor already and he's given his update. But, you know, he went into each of, I guess, the city's debt service categories. So there's three distinct areas, right? There's the pension obligation bond, the district improvement financing, and then the general debt. And so he gave a rundown of each of those components for us in this presentation. You know, I think there's a lot. You know, I think people have been using this number $1.6 billion to point to some, you know, fiscal malfeasance of some sort, you know, as if that is sort of mismanagement of city funds, or, you know, that we have overextended ourselves, I guess, in terms of the debt capacity. But that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, what that number represents is improvements that we have seen across the city. And, you know, I think that how we interpret it at the city council and the decisions that we make to support that debt service is that we maintain, you know, the wherewithal fiscally to carry that debt along. And so, you know, there were some, I mean, I think the biggest component of that debt is the pension obligation bond. It was a $475 million bond authorization. At that time, I was not a supporter of the the appropriation. I didn't think it was wise to use a liability to fund a liability. It didn't fix the core problem of the liability that you're put upon by the employees who are entitled to their pensions. It just sort of, it continues to kick the thing down the road. Now, sure, the interest rate was good, but I didn't want to take a gamble on you know, a huge amount of money that the city would be responsible for in the long run, in the unfortunate circumstance and unforeseen potentially of market downturn. And so, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the markets. And, you know, apparently last night the report is that the money has been performing well, you know, that the pension is almost entirely funded, if not overly funded. I think it was posted, the number that we said last night was about $940 million is the value. I guess it's ranged between about 880, 940, which I think entirely, that means that the pension obligation is entirely funded. You know, at the end of the life of the pension obligation bond, which, you know, there are steady payments for this bond. And I appreciate the, you know, the comparison to a mortgage, I guess, in terms of how people can understand this. It's a $475 million mortgage that the city took out at a, you know, 2.6% interest rate that we're paying at a consistent flat rate of approximately $37.1 million per year until 2040. So at the end of that, you know, the maturity of the bond will be about 550 is the eventual payout. So, it's great. I mean, the logic makes sense in what the mayor sought to accomplish with the pension obligation bond. We have a big problem. The state mandates that we pay this pension, that we fulfill our entire liability. This is a method to do so. At the time, it allowed for the eradication of a big, line item in the budget during a crazy time during COVID, right? So, it made sense for a number of reasons. Again, I didn't support it, but I don't, that doesn't mean I don't wish the best outcome for the seat. I just didn't think it was a financially prudent decision. I thought that we should have been thinking a little more cleverly. I think that that's the biggest component going on, and I think people point to that a lot. So, that's what's going on there. Then there's the DIF, the District Improvement Financing Mechanism, which we've used to improve a lot of the infrastructure in the downtown area to support all this new growth. And so, I don't know if you've had it. Do you have a copy of this presentation? Okay. And then you'll probably put it somewhere. But it just shows that the money that we've spent, the revenues have grown by over 1,375%, which I think is significant and substantial. And I think the proof's in the pudding. You're seeing all this new development come out of the ground. The mayor continued to highlight some of the projects that are in the pipeline, which are they're not insignificant. I mean, this is a big deal. People are still interested in coming to Quincy, and this was the whole point of this large redevelopment project. And the history, this has been decades. And I just think that we're in such a great place, like the comparison to other cities and towns who are not enjoying this level of growth, even Boston proper, which is which people are kind of avoiding for very different reasons. But Quincy's hot. Quincy's still hot, so we're in a good spot. And then the last component that was discussed last night was around the general debt. And there's many interesting projects that have come through the general debt profile. Obviously, four completed new schools, one including the DeCristo Faro Learning Center, which is a marquee and model project for, I would probably say, the country. That it's a public institution that supports those who are developmentally disabled with special needs. I mean, that's unbelievable. Squanum School is next, of course. So these are good projects. I mean, this is what people want. This is what makes people want to live in Quincy. And I think it couldn't be more repeated or stated or reiterated last night that we've got considerable housing demand here, which drive the values, and all of these improvements fit into that equation. So, again, I started by saying that this $1.6 billion, it sounds like a lot because it is a lot. But it fits into, I think, a bigger picture for the improvements and the continued development and growth of the city.
Do you have concerns, Ian, about the city's kind of cash reserves, free cash, if you will, an emergency fund, if you will? Do you think that's adequate?
That's a good question because that came up last night, I think, and it came up around the question of the ratings agencies and their, I guess, the way that they look at the city because we don't have considerable cash reserves. Listen, no, my answer is no. I'm not concerned about that. And the mayor said something very important last night, which I don't know if people picked up on, but our cash flow and liquidity is strong. Okay. Meaning that the money coming in supports the money going out, and it's a flywheel. Okay. The ratings agencies, they play a game, right? This is a game. It's like, the more credit you use personally, consumer credit will essentially make you a better credit rated person. Okay. That's how this goes. It's not, you got to put it into context here. The ratings agencies, and if you even, people got to go and back to the financial crisis of 2008 and understand the ratings agencies' role in the financial crisis. These are people who are rating junk bonds at AAA, okay, which was the financial underpinning, the housing market for the United States global economy that collapsed, okay? So you got to understand the nuances and the realities of the game that's played in the global financial system. This isn't just, the Moody's or S&P says bad thing about Quincy. They're playing a game. So don't be manipulated by the game that they also play, which is continuing to, it's money. It's just money. It's money being played at different levels. So that's my answer on that.
I know. Well, I know you said last night that you're confident enough in the city to start your own business here.
Correct. Yeah. And I would continue, I'm 6 years in, we've done this thing. There's still so much opportunity. Quincy's in such a unique place. And the fact that it's able to play as a team and to collectively work in the same direction. You still have great, I mean, you've got a company here, just off the top of my head, it's called Anduril. Okay. It's based out in the shipyard. Anduril's probably the next generation Lockheed Martin. Okay. So, you used to have General Dynamics out there. You got Anduril now, which is the sort of next generation technologically advanced. And Anduril took a presence here by acquiring Dive Technologies. And Dive Technologies was founded by one of Quincy's own, Bill Lebo, and his team. And they were developing unmanned submersibles. Okay. So, and these are all for defense military applications. That's a huge company. You've got other companies that we've heard about in the past, Intellicare, which grew to $1 billion, which is growing its profile. You still got the Granite Telecoms here. You've got Quirk Auto. That's a huge profile here. He runs a huge business from here. Okay, you still got Stop and Shop. You got real estate development. You got a ton of activity going on. And then from our side, we're working on advancing the next stages of digital infrastructure, including blockchain, digital assets, the whole thing. So, there are things going on here. Quincy still maintains that special sauce that people want to be a part of. And that's because of the people that use that to advance Quincy's cause because they believe, love, and support it.
Very good. I don't think there's anything more to say about that right now, actually. What's next for the council?
We have our next meeting. I was reading this thing on my notes last night were wrong. So we've got our next meeting on November 10th, which feels like an eternity away, but it'll be it's right around the corner. So we I think ne I don't know what's coming before the council in the next couple iterations. We'll have the tax rate towards the end of the year. I do know that the on the broadband project, the revenue bond was approved by the committee in third reading yesterday, which is incredible news. So we can move that forward. That'll probably come back before. I don't know if it'll come back before the new year, actually, just because we have to get out there to do to start building the subscriber base. So
Okay, very good. And anything Ward 3 specific we should touch on?
nothing Ward 3 specific. I think people are they've been really enjoying the golf club up there and the amenities that it's had to offer. So, just what a great project that has been, and thoroughly maintained by Dave Murphy and his team, and DPW was hugely instrumental in that project as well. So, it's fall. You got election coming up in a couple of weeks. Are you ready for your live coverage?
We will be there, absolutely on election night, and we'd welcome folks to stop by or at least tune in.
That's good. That's good. That'll be fun.
Thanks so much, Ian. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Joe.